Good morning, honorable members. I think it will be the correct thing to do. Let's introduce ourselves, because some of the members really I don't know. My name is Thandi Memela, the chairperson of this portfolio, and on my right is our minister Susan Shango, and then can you continue that way?
Good morning. I'm Ohara Giseko. I'm the acting DG of the Department of Women.
Good morning, honorable members and minister. My name is Andega Nkande, DDG Corporate Management. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members and the minister. My name is Kamakoni Njinga, the chief financial officer of the department.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, minister. My name is Ndiki Sulusina. I'm the acting DG, the Department of Women.
Good morning. I am Dan Bambamba, the PO for the Ministry of Women.
Good morning. I'm Joyce Maluleke, legal advisor to Minister.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Koli Swangobane, Secretary to the Whip of the Scottish.
Hi, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Claire Stanton, and I'm from an organization called SEC and Sisonke.
Good morning, honorable member. My name is Hazel Gladwin. I'm from SWED as ambassador.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ndombozi Mkotsanya. I'm a member of SWED and an ambassador and the lobbyist.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Temaka Zimbapela. I'm from committee session and lead advisor.
Good morning, my name is Vern Clancet, I'm from PMG.
Good morning, Shaheen, Committee Assistant.
Good morning, everybody, Igor Fanamarda, member of the committee.
Good morning, everyone, nice to be together again. I'm Denise Robinson, and I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
Sanibonani, Mam Kaula, M. Kaula. I'm a member of the committee, Nyabonga.
Thank you, Melan Sanbonani. My name is Grace Teke, member of the committee.
Good morning, Ms. Elias. My name is Jessica Levendal. I'm the leader of the committee.
Good morning, Akash Faizal, the content advisor to the committee.
Good morning, my name is Nelisha Nobara, and I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Thanks very much. May I please know if there are any apologies?
Thank you, Chair. I have received apologies from Mr. Beth, who's attending the other committee public service. Ms. Machoba, she will join the committee later. Ms. Van der Merwe, she will attend, but legally, she has to attend to this communication. Ms. Machesi has attended also apology. She has some hard work at home, and Bingo, she's on the way.
Okay. What's the next on the agenda? May we then continue and ask the department to actually address point one.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you. Up from Chairperson, the cabinet committee which is going on, so
I'll be out of this meeting because also I have some problems which I'm presenting to cabinet. So, but I feel that it's important to attend this portfolio committee today because this is the first meeting at the beginning of the year.
Ngisho sasala ukuthi ngiphakamise minister Mdinga. Nginenkinga la. Angibabona abantu abafana abashalela eduze kwami. Even no yedwa. Ngabe kwenzakalani? Ngiyabonga.
Kusasane second question. Member of the committee. There is an apology for one who is Mashaba will be coming a bit later. No. You can speak in Zulu, and the other members will get the translation in English. Is that acceptable? Robinson, is that acceptable?
I'm happy. I understand some Zulu. I just want to know where is the translation coming from? I don't see any headsets here. Or are you going to translate afterwards? And
Don't worry. For now, we'll do that. Minister will speak in Zulu, and there will be some English translation. But what is going to happen, the two abantu lababa utu umuntu ka mama no wesilisa basendleleni baya sama. Yeah. Kunjalo.
Ngiyabonga, ngiphalele ithuba. Ngiphalele ithuba. Ngibulise umalume wekomiti khona namhlanje. Ngithathele ithuba ukuthi ngixolise ngoba njengoba ngila ikomiti yahulumente ahleli khona manje. Kunehlelo kumele ngizifake lapha ezinye ninazo la kuhlelo lakho linawo losihlalo. Manje engicelayo sihlalo uma ungivumele ukuba mangendlalela inkulumo yami kune ama-item ku-agenda engifuna ukuwacacisa so that then because I will not be here later nizokwazi ukuba those items I can make it easier for you to explain what is the situation instead of allowing them ziqhubekeke la kwi-program because then at the end I hear but I want to clarify them so that we're together on them but also be able to say what I think we need to do in taking these issues forward as part of the process. If you have a masalo, accept. Thank you very much. Or maybe also I must explain that as before I get into the agenda, first I want to indicate to the committee that Director General where department has resigned. I think you all know her. Veliso Baduza has left. She's got knapostures. So she has moved on. So, I can say very soon. Yes. Ubalula. So, in the issue of the Uambile U Director General Department, she runs with the effect from 1st of February. Njengoba bengihleka u-strat plan sayifaka isihoxiso sokuthi ngeke abe nani because when you started your strat plan ubesengasekho ku-department so I thought it's important also today to emphasize that we no longer have a DG hence we have an acting DG today but the other point which I wanted to raise Sal, is that it's going to take us 6 months to qualify the position rest assured within a very short space of time, Sizalisi, not DG, Omusha. Very competent, very effective, who will take this department to the next level with all its challenges. So I thought I need to indicate that to say we are in the process of filling the post, so we are ready to move forward. So I thought I need to indicate the block. Okunye sihlalibeka benithi ngizakuqacisa ku-agenda ezikhona la siyankweleda siyi-department. Umnyango nikoleda ningashayi kakhulu ngiyasicelela siyaxolisa siyazi ukuthi sinimoshile kwezinye izinto ningashayi nisishaye kodwa ningashayi kakhulu sinikoloda i-report i-second quarter report as you know we're supposed to present it some time ago but there are challenges as you know being a department which is working towards transformation or new mandate so today we've got that quarterly report we hope it will give the committee an opportunity over its casual report and ASB will be presenting a draft strategy slalo it's not yet finalized but we are almost there where then it will have to be endorsed by the Department of Public Services and Administration together with Treasury. So we're working on those two issues, but we are ready and start in the new financial year with a department which is ready to run. Hence I'm saying no DG, we hope by then we'll be having a DG brand new from the box, ready to run and be part of the new department as we move forward. And the other issue, Chairperson, you had asked for transitional arrangements. May I plead on this particular item that a transition can come to you when we are done. We are just at the verge of concluding the treasury, let CFA write a CFO. Let us come and give you the new organization. Because then it will tell you where we are. We are finalizing those things. That's why the team is not leaving today in Slaughterenza Buzebus, finalizing them, be able to meet our deadline at Treasury. So, Mkala Kutiba, I am the transition. ASB, the Commission on Status of Women, it's part of the Commission on Status of Women. But also, you had asked us to come in next week on the video report. Can I just deal with the process first? Because here, we have not tabled any reports. That's not a report committee. And in terms of the process, you can only call us, Mother Sister Pitegu Parliament, for you. So far, I've got a submit. So, I've got a submit to see the report, including CSW. ECSW, last year, just to explain ukuthi kuqhubekani nge-CSW ngoba besishintsha i-government from the chief administration when we came in into ekuqhubekele sihlale ukuthi whilst we were busy sishintsha a report was deposited with UNEA which is the United Nations yangena ikuwebsite yakhona. But that report, I want to state and emphasize, that's not a country report. It was a report generated by the department, but the department with the hope of Utrazama UN and making a big mistake where there was never a consultation with various stakeholders. So then we had to seek advice what DIRCO. DIRCO said, no, we can still withdraw. If you get that report, it's disgusting for the country. In this window, Ogukuti will advance so much to the country, Moguzo windows are more consumers. Now, it's better, a copy of any engati, aguna luto, a fluency. It's a good thing, more better. Ikinadeza, umzabalas are more consumers. The fights we've had, the struggles waged by women in this country, that report does not recognize. So we thought, Uti, as I'm speaking to you, that's why we had consultations. As we speak today, whilst we understand which we were late, but it's never too late to start anything. Because so it's not about when, it's about making sure that the right thing does happen. So we must consult. So today we are presenting that report to cabinet. Committee is our cabinet in the cabinet meeting next week where then it becomes a country report which then is endorsed by cabinet gets tabled to parliament where the portfolio committee then will be able to deal with it. That's the Commission on Status of Men. I thought I need to clarify that because the processes are very important. We can only table the report to the committee. Mase, cabinet, the end of it. Then it was because we must table it to Parliament as a country report. So Parliament through the committee then, it was there over to AHS, means engaged. So same applies to see the report. Because of the challenges, any So I'm just saying, see the report too. It's not there. I'm one person who tells the truth. I don't believe it, It while she's supposed to be now having a report, it's not there. So we're going to start the process of making sure that we work on the field report. By the way, who put your... When are we going to be ready with CEDO, by the way? April. So please bear with us. We know we are late, but we'd rather submit a right report than submitting a report which one we have not consulted, because any of them must be able to consult with civil society and everybody. With CSW, we have consulted, and we've agreed on the processes. Because I must also say to the committee, one of the issues with the report CSW, which we must move away from, and I want to plead through you, Chair OT, must it be than a CSW? Let CSW not be New York. CSW is about country processes. It's not about what we do in the country. Not about going to New York. Because where we are is about going to New York. So the undertaking we've made, including to the civil society, but from Masibuya, Suzo Farashela, Wontama province, Yondau, Sikalesake, a country consensus. I 3 months before, say, New York. Some people don't know. We were in Beijing in 1995. We were a part of this process. Yes, as the department started, we lose processes. And I remember, everybody used to talk about the Beijing. Because it was in the lips of all of us as South Africans. If yes, that people are manji. So we're here to see people. It can't be about few people, it must be about the country, because Masukunuma is a country report. It must be a report which has consensus or input from various people. But also I must say, we know what different people, we will never agree on everything. But at least processes, the consultation must always be there. And even if, and persuade each other in the process, where then we can say, this is what we agree on. So as a chairperson, I need to clarify these issues. Just to assist and also be able to say, who do you have to arrange and if you shonke? If it isn't just the words of friends, the son and the family, see what's with you get. Whatever we do know. So on the CFW, in 2 weeks' time, the cabinet, the end of it today, after E3, then we'll table to parliament, as normally do, table to, through the speaker of parliament. So that I submit a report. It was able to even report the committee as I was with the AHNI. I thought I need to clarify those issues to say we are committing overseas as a listen to. But the Oba Lady in CSW, I must also say, first Balele, who speaker with National Assembly, Sabalera, who chairperson with MCOP, some tell them over ECSW and it's to clear near 8, both houses, the parliament in terms of delegation. So parliament. So I thought I need to clarify those issues for us then to be able to deal with everything a corner. So in Kawan Guti Chairperson, if we didn't from good clarifier. As I think, izingxaki ebekade le komiti ibhekene nazo sizame ukuzilungisa. And must also say, the process of dealing with the challenges we are faced by this department, they are not events. You know, they are so complex and difficult, but we are managing in taking them forward and making sure that we normalize the working of the department, but also in making sure then that the engagement with the portfolio committee becomes better and be informed and moving from a common understanding. So, Chair, so thank you very much. I thought I need, before I can allow DG to proceed on the presentation, just to clarify the space, and there are issues that members want to ask.
Thanks, Minister, about the clarification you've just made. That was the area of concern, actually, because we didn't know where we stood with pertaining to the transition. But with the explanation you've just given us now, I think it's paving a clear route for us to proceed. We just need, you know, information as to how far we are, what is happening, so that we then move, we're all moving up.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much, Chair. We're going to be presenting the second quarter, and we'll do the financial report and the strategic plan. I'm going to request DDD Corporate Services to take us through the second quarter performance report.
Thank you, DDD. Okay, with regards to the second quarter performance, I will present program 1 and 2 of the department, and the presentation will basically cover the second quarter report, the departmental budget, and program performance. On the overall, the department planned about 39 targets for the second quarter, and out of these, we achieved 17 targets. And in terms of percentage, this is 44% of the targets that were achieved, and 56% of that was not achieved. When we compare to the previous quarter, which was quarter one, in the first quarter, the department achieved 60% of its planned targets, and 17% was not achieved. So there's a bit of a reduction in terms of the achieved targets for quarter two, and this is largely because of the transition that the ministers referred to. With regards to the projected high-level financial expenditure, the department planned to spend 51% of its budget, however, the actual expenditure was 40%. In terms of economic classification, you will see that on compensation, we projected to spend 52% and the average spent 44%. On goods and services, we projected to spend 50%, we spent 52%. On transfers and subsidies, we projected to spend 50% for the quarter, we actually spent 45%. On machinery and equipment, the projected expenditure was 58% and we spent 18%. And as I indicated in the previous slide, the total expenditure was 40%. Now we'll go to program performance. I will start with program one, which is administration. In this particular branch, we had planned 17 targets for the second quarter, and out of those, 6 targets were achieved, which is 35%, and 11 targets were not achieved, which then gives us 35% targets achieved and 55% targets not achieved. Again, when you compare this branch to its previous quarter performance, you find that in the previous quarter, 75 targets were achieved and 25% were not achieved. Now in the second quarter, 35% was achieved and 65% were not achieved. And as I indicated, it's mostly related to the transition.
terms of financial expenditure for this program, we projected to spend about 52%, but we only spent 46%. Again, in terms of economic classification, you'll say it's not that different from general organizational expenditure. Now, when we go per target, I'll start with the first target there, which was on quarter two, we had planned to do GBV awareness framework finalized, develop GBV advocacy manual, develop and print awareness raising material. This target is not achieved, and largely because we're in the transition and we had basically said as a corrective measure, we'll revise the APT, and the committee will recall that we had then presented a revised APT. The next target there was development of the National Strategic Plan to End GBV. The target is not achieved. Again, the progress there is that the report on the first phase of the development of the NFT to End GBV was submitted. However, as an interim arrangement, activities that relate to the previous council are within the working branch, and that is our corrective measure. Then the next target that relates to internal audit, which we had planned one quarterly report on the three-year rolling plan. It's also not achieved as we had capacity challenges within that unit through staff resignations. The corrective measure that we implemented there as a department, we sought the support of National Treasury, and as it's their role to assist departments. However, the process of capacitating internal audit is underway. Then the next one is the number of follow-up audit reports issued and tabled to the audit committee. Again, that target was not achieved because of staff constraints within that unit. The next target relates to payment of service providers within 30 days. We had planned that 100% all of our service providers will be paid within 30 days. We had not achieved that target. And we're saying out of 827 invoices that were received from within this quarter, 14 invoices were paid within 30 days, which is basically 1%. So this is an area that we continue to have a challenge with, and it's on a number of reasons. However, the corrective measure that we are putting in place is that suppliers will be required to supply updated bank details before an order is issued. Because as the committee will recall, every time we try to explain ourselves on this particular target, we relate to issues of incorrect banking details that are supplied. So when we try to pay, the system kicks the details, the payment. In terms of projected expenditure, which is the next target, we had said that the target there was timely submission of the in-year monitoring with actual expenditure in line with cash flow projections. With regards to this target, we're saying it's also not achieved, and the deviation there is that 33%, the deviation is 33% mainly due to under expenditure of 25%. In the old CRR and RTP branches. Also, Program 1 and 2 underspent by 8%. So if you focus only on Program 1 and 2, which is what we remain with, the underspending there was 8%. And as a corrective measure, I think the budget for Program 3 and 4 has been transferred to the Department of Social Development. With the remaining budget, we are working through the branch coordinators to ensure that the department spends according to the projected expenditure. With regards to the target on the reduction of the vacancy rate, we had set a target of 12%. We were going to reduce it by 12%, and we said, by saying that this target is not achieved, and it's because the vacancy rate has increased to 15.2%. Now, as we know that as the department tries to fill posts, we then unfortunately receive resignations and then they affect this target.
And this is what had happened in the in this particular quarter. And then with the next target, which at least the ones that follow are chief, this one relates to the percentage of women employed in senior management positions in the department. We had set ourselves a target of 50%, and this is achieved in that the department is currently at 7.8%. And then with regards to percentage of persons with disabilities employed in the department, we had set a target of 2%, as we achieved this target in that the department in that quarter was at 4.1%. And the next target related to biometric access installed, and this one is not achieved because it's a process that we need to do by appointing a service provider. However, we had terms of reference for the appointment of the service providers had been developed. However, we had to reprioritize funding. So the expectation was that we will then implement it in the third quarter. Oh, and then the next target relates to the percentage uptime and security of main ICT systems. And we set ourselves a target of having the ICT system available 95% of the time. And we're saying this target was achieved in that, according to our reports, the service was, the system was available 98% of that period. And this is something that we manage through CETA. Then the next one relates to coordination and facilitation of inclusive participation for all the sectors at local, national, regional, and multilateral and bilateral levels, as well as on treaty obligations. So for quarter two, we're planning to facilitate and participate during the SADC ministerial meeting, and this is achieved in that we did participate, I mean we did facilitate that, and we actually presented a facilitation report. The next one relates to the 2014 communication strategy. And we had planned that 2014 to 2019 communication strategy finalized and approved. And this one is not achieved, and as you recall that we were in that process of a transition, and the target was based on the old mandate. However, we did develop communication plans with regards to the activities that followed. So the corrective plan there is that the target has to be revised to align with the new mandate, which we have since done. The next target relates to the research agenda finalized and implemented for the quarter. One report was to be developed that is aligned to the research agenda. It's not achieved in that a draft research agenda was developed emanating from the departmental strategy processes. The target is not achieved because the research agenda had to be revised according to the new mandate. And that a draft research agenda is been consulted, and I think it had actually been approved by now. The next target, there is a number of policy gap analysis produced. We had planned to have one policy gap report, and that's related to the policy Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, which was called Strengthening the Relative Rights of People Working the Land. The next target relates to the percentage of presidential hotline service delivery complaints resolved. We had planned, the committee will recall that this is the target that we had agreed to revise. However, for this quarter, we had planned 40% resolution of all complaints. However, we maintained our 100% status in that no new cases were logged with the presidential hotline. The next one relates to the number of anti-corruption initiatives championed. And the target there is training and awareness of the fraud prevention strategy conducted.
And this target is not achieved, and it's basically due to the fact that the unit had to focus more on the MS processes and also the capacity constraints. But with regards to corrective measures, we are saying training and awareness sessions will be conducted in quarter three. That's the end of program one. With program two, the performance there, the program planned 9 targets for the second quarter, and out of that, 6 targets were achieved, and only 3 targets were not achieved. So the program achieved 67% of its planned targets. When you compare it to the performance of the previous quarter, there is an improvement in this program, in that we initially in the first quarter we were at 43%, but in this quarter we are at 67% on the achieved targets. With regards to financial expenditure, the program projected to spend 50% of its budget. However, we spent 37%. And when you look at the economic classification, in terms of expenditure, you see that compensation, we projected to spend 51%, and only 43% was spent. Goods and services, 50% was collected, but we spent 15%. Transfers and subsidies, there we projected to spend 50%, but we spent 42%. Machinery and equipment, we projected to spend 100%, we spent 4%. In terms of the program performance on targets, the first target indicator was number of programs on gender parity system coordinated. The target there was facilitate mainstreaming of 50-50 principle into designated government or public bodies. And this target we say is achieved in that we did facilitate the mainstreaming of 50-50 guidelines into the indigenous policy of co-opta. The next target was the number of women reached through advocacy interventions to empower women and eliminate discrimination. And there we had targeted to reach about 10,000 women. And the saying is achieved in that 10,000 women were reached during the Women's Month. There's also the popularization of women's rights and empowerment undertaken through consultation, dialogues, and IEC material production on women empowerment and gender equality. And the same popularization of IEC materials through consultation and dialogues in, for example, Class J CPS, which is the Justice and Safety Cluster, and cluster meeting, and also the Women in Sports Awards, Women's Day and Women's Month program. So that is where we did the popularization of the women's rights material. The next one, it's basically a continuation here where we are giving details of other activities that were undertaken towards this target, which basically the target was the National Women's Conference on 20-year review, and the description of the progress made there is that we coordinated the review of empowerment of women initiatives through intergenerational dialogue between veteran and young women. The next target is under the indicator that is the number of programs for women's economic empowerment. The target there was projects coordinated with African Development Bank. The target is not achieved in that we drafted the proposal for the coordination with African Development Bank, and we're saying the corrective measure there is that the target has been revised to align with the new mandate. In terms of the next target there, where we have planned to review the national policy on wage on the reviewed national policy on wage approved, and also norms and standards on gender mainstreaming guidelines drafted, gender mainstreaming facilitated in one economic sector department. This target is not achieved as the policies the target is not achieved, and the corrective measure there is that given the new mandate, the department is revising its ACP, and then we have to see how we then input this particular target in what we have. So
That is the collective measure, and as the committee knows that we have revised the 18. Then the next one is the number of programs on gender mainstreaming coordinated. We had planned the norms and standards on gender mainstreaming drafted. And then we say it's not achieved because guidelines and norms and standards, if they were drafted. However, we need to, due to the new mandate, we needed to revise the target. And then the next target there is gender mainstreaming facilitated in one economic sector department, and the performance there, again, is not achieved in that we facilitated gender mainstreaming on economic empowerment with Coca-Cola. So these targets are read together, so even though you try and some of them were achieved, however, if one is not achieved, then it's in terms of the agreement, the treasury, then it becomes not achieved. The next one is the number of capacity building and institutional support activities facilitated. And we were going to develop a framework on gender-responsive budgeting. This is say it's achieved in that we did develop the framework. And then the next one is the number of initiatives on institutional support and capacity building framework undertaken. We had planned to publish the baseline report on gender-responsive budgeting, which we have done. We published it in a soft copy and placed it on the website for popularization. So this progress covers both activities, which is popularize the baseline report on gender-responsive budgeting. The next target is the number of national gender machinery shared and coordinated. In this quarter, we had planned one machinery, and that was achieved. The next one, the number of initiatives for empowerment of young women facilitated. We had planned to do one dialogue on economic empowerment with young women, and say it's achieved. The department has facilitated empowerment of young women through skill development at Portals House in Pretoria. And we also engaged on the blanket meeting as economic empowerment. And that's the continuation of the activities that we did. The next target there is the number of compliance support to regional, continental and international conventions. The target there is 2 compliance reports. And the performance is that it's not achieved, and the progress description is that the process to report on CEDAW and CEDAW has been reported. And this area here is basically what the minister has just alluded to in her introduction. And that is the end of the report. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And at long last, after sucking my baby, who's on the playground right now, the interpreter has decided to join us. Please keep time. Thank you. Gigi, I saw your hand up.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to add on slide 16. I think the DGG slipped on that one. The reason for the increase in the percentage of the vacancy rate. Apart from the termination, we had placed a moratorium on filling vacant posts, and the reason was that when we are restructuring a department, you actually, and there's a new mandate, you actually have to look at the skills that you have. You have to do a skills audit and begin to understand the competences that you want to recruit, which is why we put a moratorium, a minister put a moratorium on the filling of those posts.
I thought it was important for me to highlight that. On the slide 21, the research agenda analyzed and implemented, DBG, I think, slipped and said that the draft research agenda has been approved. It has not yet been approved. It is also a process because we have to be very specific about the kind of research agenda that we are undertaking as a department, and you also have to have to be able to match it to our capacity. Thanks.
Are there any points of clarity from the members?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to ask something in terms of the skills audit. The previous department, before they went into this transitional period, was also busy with a skills audit, and I don't think it was ever finalized. I just want to know whether this skills audit, which you are undertaking now, will this be done by the time the final organogram is finalized? Just a matter of clarity.
No. Honorable Robinson.
Chair, I thank you for the honest report, admitting that there are that you haven't reached your targets, and I think that is good that we're not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. I know you've had challenges with the transition, but we just want to urge that you go forward as fast as possible, because the women of South Africa really need the support that we are supposed to be giving. I'm interested about the GBV manual that you said you had been working on. I'd like some more details about that, please. I was concerned that your suppliers are not giving you the correct banking details. This seems very odd, because if these are good suppliers who are in good standing, they should have that. And one can't point a finger at the department if they're not giving you the right information. So can we just check that the people we are working with, these suppliers, are actually up to standard and are people that we can do business with? Otherwise, it puts everybody in a bad situation. The under-expenditure is really very worrying. When we so often say there's not enough money, but when we have got money and we haven't used it, this is something that we've really got to focus on and make sure that we can get into full production quickly. You mentioned about the resignations. We've had quite a lot of turnovers of staff, which also makes it difficult to go forward. I want to know whether you have conducted exit interviews. Some people you mentioned are going to greener pastures, but let's see, why are other people leaving? So that if there is a systemic fault, one can try and solve the problem. We need stability. We need people who are going to be driven to try and take this department forward. It's been in sort of state of turmoil for so long. We now want stability and we want action. You mentioned that you had reached your target of reaching 10,000 women. I think that's good, but I would also like details about that. How did you achieve this? Are these all just mass meetings, so people hear something and then they go home? Is there actually something which is solid, that is ongoing, that you can say you have made a difference in the lives of women? They haven't just come to a mass function. What is happening inside? And you've popularized women's material about women's rights. Fantastic. I think this is what we all need. Women have been subjugated for too long. But again, could you please let me have an example of what you have been putting out? Because I think the committee wants to be involved. We don't want the department to be on that side, and we're here. I think we want to know what is happening and how we can help you to take forward the agenda of getting women to be in the state where they know what their rights are. They also know what their responsibilities are, but we must work at this. I had a question here about the gender mainstreaming and guidelines. I'd like to know, you said mentioned the norms and standards hadn't been finalized. Could we have details about that, please, as well? I think I'll leave it at that for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Also, thank you for the report. Just a thought occurred to me in sort of listening that obviously we hugely bogged down as a committee with all of these reports, the reports we have to keep up with, all the international and national reports, and it seems to give us clay feet. And I'm wondering whether it wouldn't be helpful at some time for us to consider, I'm thinking even perhaps just us as a committee, hearings, and inviting organizations to come and actually share what they would like to see us be as a committee, as a department, in terms of impacting practically on the work that they're doing on the ground. Because I don't get a sense when I'm speaking to people who are working with women that they have any kind of feeling that this department is going to impact on them in any real way. And I'm thinking hearing because that's something we know about. But obviously there could be other ideas in that we could be more interactive and be actually lining up with what people need us to be doing and saying rather than getting too just bogged down in what we have to do with the reporting. Thank you.
I am Gibonge Minister, no TG, no Bonke. Salomina meeting you one. And Bella Bella, she said, Lumi and goes to celebrate with Fazan and Abatuan. What about to appear upon the ink? I think, who is the long I ask? And then you born good at Richard, the Gizolan Vomela knows about it. Sang at the Bella Hatman, a busy appearance, the scabbing and Bella, see a salon apart. Abantu besifazane bona bathwele kanzima banabantwana abakhubazekile baze bagcine sebethembelele ey'bonelelweni instead okuthi uma ngabe ikhona le nyanga enje izokwazi ukuthi umntwana umuntu akwazi ukuthi athathe ingane yakhe ayoyifundisa ukuze kusasa ikwazi nakuyimela noma seshona kunebantu kuyimanje ngikhuluma ngabo engikhala kambi engazokhuluma nosihlalo wami kuyena sengiya kuminista abesifazane la ekhuluma ngabo bahlala endaweni ward 1 endaweni thisekebhula laba bantu bahlukumezeke ngendlela eyinkinga nami ngibathole kuyingozi usihambe uyakubona ngemoto laba bantu baphuza amanzi angcole ngendlela ongazi zindlu abahlala kuzona abantu abahlala emaweni iy'ngane zabo ngoba banakho lokuthi njeokuyehlupheka bona kodwa banaleli themba lokuthi ngelinye ilanga izingane zabo ziye esikoleni bayophuma kulela sizi zihambe endaweni ewusizi leya ndawo inkinga ngendlela ungayazi ekunyele ngengikhalo ngikhuluma ngakho ba ezinye izinto zingakhuluma lezi nhlangano lezi okuthiwa ama-NPO ama-NGOs mina bengiyela ngelinye ilanga kesho uzohlala nabo la ngoba ngokwami ngibona sangathi khona izinhlangano la ey'xhaswa ugovernment kodwa ezingayi kubantu ziyanikezwa imali umnyango kodwa aziyi kubantu ukuthi zithi baqoqe laba bantu abantu manje baze bavele ngokuthi besibona kwama-TV bazame bathole amafoni esibikele iy'nkinga bengizocela mina ukuthi minista ngempela ngempela kesihlalele into esiyadlula ma ngabe lezi zimali zikhona ey'nikezwa ama-NGOs nama-NPO akuziweshophe ukuthi kungona ongenani siyakwazi ukuthi sibabize la sibatshethe nako bese siyabalandela labona abantu baphuza amanzi omfula la manzi ewumfula kusuke kuqhelelwe imoba la uma kuqhelelwe lezi moba ukushisa ile nto iyinukhulu then after that bese bachela amanzi angena la baphinde ngasela kunenkompo nalana ngoba siyethi abelungu labazonda sironke abelungu fana nathina abantu ngoba nathi khona bami khona bahle ngafonela umlungu mina engitshetha ngile laphaya ngizobona kodwa ngingasho ukuthi ngifonelwe uyena kunenkomporo nale nkomporo yathole indle yayishawa imaflasha iphole kula bantu baphosa amanzi ngandawo egodla zengiwakhile ngibe ngathola nanegama le-chemicals and kuningi usizi olubhekene nabantu bakithi ivi nabantu abakhubazekile bagcine sebezisulu zokudlwengulwa zidlala abanye abantu ngenxa yokuthi uzomuphi isimpa kanjani mina bengingacela ukuthi lo mnyango ngempela kesiyeke manje lesikhuluma nobeljing kanjalo ekesibuyeleni la i-South Africa ngoba thina lana akho lutho enkomporo oku-right minita ngempela ngiyokucela ukuthi ngelinye ilanga
Thank you very much, Minister, DG and delegation. There is one problem that I have. It's just that on the ground level, there are major problems. I feel that maybe we as a committee should focus on doing more oversight. There are disabled children are living off grants. There are people that are educating their children in the hope that they are going to give them something in return one day. There's a specific ward called Ward 1 in Sepuna. The conditions there are very appalling. The children there are drinking, the people there are drinking dirty water. Their housing conditions are appalling. The area is hugely or highly undeveloped. The NGOs and the NPOs don't seem to be doing a lot because some of them are getting funding, but we don't see what is being done with these funds. These NGOs, I think that these NGOs should be called down to Parliament or should be called down to us, and we should do oversight, and we should engage them and see what they do and what assistance we can give them so that if they need assistance from us, we can assist. There are also other issues. In certain area called Razor, children there are playing in grave sites. I also got a phone call from a certain old individual who did not want to be named. And when I went to this compound, I found that the water that they are using there has chemicals. Also, disabled women on the ground are being raped in the promise that they are going to be given food. I think that we as a committee should concentrate on doing oversights, and maybe then we can find a way forward.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Minister, and the delegation for your input. I want to start with the input made by the Minister with regard to the CEO reports and other reports that the CSW, but I'll be specific with regard to the CEO report. And thank you very much for giving us the information that yes, you have not started the process because you have raised it whilst you are in the strategic planning. And because when we look at the reporting history of our country with regard to this report, it is debate. So we are worried. That's why we have dealt with the matter at our strategic workshop. But we've got confidence in you and the department, even though you're still understaffed. But we've got confidence that yes, we'll finalize the process this year and we'll be able to make consultations with our civil society and other stakeholders in our country, and yes, we will submit this year. Unlike the second, third report, I think we are not going to be late like those reports, because when you look back, those reports were late by 4 to 5 years. So, yes, the second, third report, they were late, you know. The fourth report was supposed to be submitted in, let me say the third report, the country report was supposed to be submitted in 2005, but it was submitted around, I think, 2011. So this, I think, will be much improvement. On the other issue, maybe just to get from the CFO throughout, but I think the delegation will respond with regard to the payment of service providers, because when you look at the percentage that have been paid, it's just a drop in the ocean. And surely, these are our small emerging contractors. So this is not fair, actually, to them, even though some of them have not submitted the correct banking details. But because this report is from July to September last year, I just wanted to check the status quo. Now, whether they have been paid, they have been managed to submit the correct banking details, what is the status quo as we're speaking? And then with regard to facilitating gender mainstreaming on economic development, you are speaking about Coca-Cola and Intel, though you are also including DTI and the DTPS. I just want to see what was the reason identified for prioritizing Coca-Cola and Intel. Maybe, yeah, what is the reason? if there's something that I don't know. The other one, with regards to the dialogue, the department has facilitated empowerment of young women through skills development at Potter's House. How many girls were identified to be part of the skills program, and what was the criteria actually to identify the young girls? If you also have identified them from our rural areas, or mostly I know that people just look around Johannesburg or Pretoria. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
What is the nickname?
Sorry, Chairperson. In fact, earlier I just wanted to ask a question around the skills order, but I also wanted to just thank the Minister for his frankness. I did serve with Rice in the previous committee, and I must add to what she said. I mean, the previous reports were always years and years late, and it always gave our committee quite a lot of anxiety. But to hear your frankness in the way that you will deal with it, I think it's always nice to get such honesty from any person, and we really appreciate that. I just wanted to ask, in terms of the program one administration, two of the targets were not achieved, and that was because of the National Council of Gender-Based Violence. I also served in social development, and I don't really hear anything around the National Council of Gender-Based Violence, and it's giving me also some anxiety because in social development, they've scaled back on some of the funding that has been allocated for gender-based violence. And therefore, I think it's important that we know where is this council currently located, is it actually doing anything, and just an update around that. Also, I wanted to ask, the framework on gender responsive budgeting, you have completed it. Are you planning to popularize it? Is any departments already implementing it? And if so, whether you can give us an update on which departments are using it. Thank you.
Yebo, ngibonge sihlalo. Bengizokubuza nje ukuthi-ke la emakhaya ngempela ngabe bakwazi ukuthi babhekelele wonke uma sebethatha labo bantu abazama ukuthi bakwazi ukuthi babathathe ukuthi basebenze njengomama ukuze babhekelele, ngoba ngempela funa nazi ukuthi emakhaya amakhaya abhekelele umuntu. Angikhumbuli nje bebhekelele abantu nokuthi nampa bakhona babasiza nangey'ngadi nangani nangani. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to find out regarding women from the rural areas and what empowerment is being given to them, what support is being given to them, because really the women from the rural areas are getting almost no support at all. Thank you.
Honourable members, I'll ask the delegation to answer all those questions posed to them.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just to pick up on some of the issues raised by the committee, but also welcoming their concerns. Just to start on the point raised by Honourable Livelle when it comes to skills audits. The tall order. Challenges. Yes, we are aware that there was a skills audit done. But if you look at the process followed last time, it did not give us an outcome which allows us to move forward. And I think part of the challenge was that that report did not help us, because if it was a report which informed us well, we would have used it to move forward. We would be even at a better space if that report was informing us well. So I thought I need to indicate. But what we have done as we are coming in is that we said by April, ne? Skills audit. Yeah. Unfortunately, we had to get external people now again to come and help us. Not just on the basis of skills audit, but also the potential of individuals. Because you can do your skills audit, but if your skills audit is also not a link to job evaluation. So you're not just doing skills audit. Because when you've done your skills audit, and so what? If I'm in the wrong place, so what? But you also have to do, because we are having all these many challenges which are unable to make us to move forward. So we're doing skills audits together with job evaluations, which then will help us also to say, if I'm this particular job, are my skills adaptable to what I'm doing? Because that also leads to paralysis on individuals. So it's also, instead of dealing with people from a perspective of just doing the skills audit, then you're not the right person, go. We also look at how do we adapt in making sure people can perform. If they're here, do they have the capacity, are they ready? And therefore, it will also help us to see what kind of assistance we need to give to people in capacitating them. So these are some of the issues, as we say, we hope the reports, we had hoped by now that report will be out, because we wanted to start with the 1st of April, when we know that it settles, everybody is ready and understands. So that's part of the process which we are dealing with. And as we are saying, that in everything we're doing, we're trying to put time frames in making sure that there's a certain instead of having, you know, like processes which are more or less at the expense of those who are doing the work, which at the end they take their own time. We don't have the luxury of time in allowing some of those things. So after the EDOF skills report, I need to respond to it to say, this is where we are. And let me also say, because we are this small department, when you talk of percentage, it's like big, because when one person leaves, it's like 5%, you know, it's not many people. One, I must say, we have people where it might not have been like an exit interview, but try to understand why are you leaving, you know. And some of the people will say, well, I've got a better offer, I've got a better position. That's the issue. Now, those are the reasons which have been addressed so far. Like I said, DG has another job. She's gone to SARA as a CEO. So then you can understand. She's a CEO now, so you'll find in SARA, South African Heritage Agency. Yes, she's there now. So you can see people choose to move and all that. So those are some of the reasons. But also, what happens then is that some of the people, as I say, they move on to find better prospects. I need, which is, it has not arisen from what we have presented. I just need to take you back, especially the members of the committee who are there. We had people who had dismissed in the past in the department. When I came in, I went through the process because some of those people were reinstated. They had awards, they were awarded to be reinstated. And I've gone through the process of saying, and we are appealing as a department, appealing those decisions for those people to come back. I went through the process at looking at those people to say, if we want to appeal against the reinstatement of those people, what are the decisions? I went through that, and I was not convinced that we're taking the right course. The course of action of making the appeals was taking us to the right, will give us the right outcome. Instead, it would have cost the state more money. Because, I mean, I've been in the unions forever. I've represented people, I've won cases. I know when there's a case and when there were no cases. And I realized that we don't have case. Yes, there's an appeal, lawyers have been engaged, but I felt, as a responsible person, we can't proceed. We're going to lose. You don't go to court when you know that you're going to lose. You go there because you know you've got a leg to stand on. So I said, we can't. And the challenge we had, which are some of the issues when we deal with the final structure, may come up. But I thought it's important to share with you. Then what we discovered, because it also relates to skills audit and some of the difficulties which we'll find and navigate as we move forward. So I took a decision that we can't go to court, we're going to lose. Already we're owing those people. We have not reinstated them. We're owing them because they were supposed to be paid. But two, we're paying lawyers to challenge on cases which we're going to lose. And unfortunately, when we go to the labor court, we're going to get a decision where the judge will be having a ruler and on my knuckles. Because normally when you take such cases to court, judgment also makes additional comments which are palatable. So I thought it's not wise. But and the other issue, we're going to lose with cost. because it's like we're taking similar cases to court. Because if you lose a case, an unfair procedure, no. You dismiss a person, one of the fundamentals, you are found to have dismissed the person procedurally unfair. What are your substantive issues? Your substantive issues are such that it's irreconcilable. You know, it's like an extreme substantive issue. So we're found on the basis of unfairness, on procedural grounds, and we know, we've seen the vibe story. You don't win. You must get your procedures right. So then I said, let's reinstate those people. So part of the process of bringing back those people, there might be additional to the establishment, but we'd rather deal with that internally. Instead of us going to court where we'll be paying people more money, paying lawyers, paying our own lawyers, so just incurring an unnecessary cost. So I thought lead to that skills audit. Those are some of the process we're building in. It might be a little bit answer to what was part of the previous skills audit in terms of the other reports. So those are some of the remedial measures in trying to normalize the department, which we are doing currently. Just say on the issue of engagement with a public and here, let me also say that I accept, I don't think there's nothing which stops Chairperson, the committee, inviting civil society NGOs. Nothing stops you to hear what they say. But also, we are a population of 52 million in South Africa. Where you reach out, I might not have reached out. But that does not mean we're not reaching out. So it becomes important for Parliament to call various civil society, various groupings in making sure that they share their story. But we'll also share our story on the basis of what we're doing as government. But we also not say we're doing it all. We can't do it all. But out of those processes, we can be able to say, what is it that we put together? What is it that in your own oversight you do as the portfolio committee, which then informs us on areas which might not be able to reach out. So I think that we need to understand, all of us, as you correctly say, have to work together, but it's a fact. But also we might meet NGOs, which will claim that this is what is not happening when there's a lot which are happening in some of those areas. That's reality, that's life. There isn't much you can do. But I think the key for us, we really welcome the working together, but we also want to the committee to really do its work so that when they come here, they don't say, oh, no, no, the department was there, that's why we couldn't do this or that. So they must, you know, your oversight must do those things to enhance the work we are doing as a department. And on the issue, again, on NGOs by Mama Kaula, money, I'm an NGO, on my laptop, and an office, and they get money. It doesn't go to people. It's a reality. It's a reality in our society. Unfortunately, pain of others, for others it's money. When they see the pain, I sometimes say, the pain of women, to some people has been commercialized. That pain has been commercialized because that's how they make money to advance their people. So now is to say, those are some of the issues, but also talking about civil society or NGOs. As the department of ministry, as this ministry or department, we don't have money. I mean, you are the committee. You know, we don't have money. We can't even offer extend the hand of something to the next person. Because if you look at funding, civil society for NGOs, that is with social development. The bulk of the funding is there. So it's one of the issues which I think in the past was attention. That is why we have defined ourselves not as a department which must get money from those departments for us to give to NGOs. So I say our responsibility would be to look at the effectiveness of what is done. So if money goes to NGOs, we must see whether those civil society, are they doing work in terms of their request, or as Mama Kaula says, they're going out for themselves. So I think that's where we are. And it has been clarified and clearly defined to us. As we know, we don't have a legislation. Social development, all those issues, rehabilitation, victim empowerment centers for women who have been sexually assaulted. All those fundings are with social development. I just to see whether those institutions, to what extent, are they effective. If they're not, what is it that they need to do? So I think that's another area which we need to understand, so that we are not being asked to say, why are you not giving money to them? Why are you not giving money to them? So for us, it's very, very difficult. But we don't have an excuse. We are here as a ministry. We must do work. And our work, it's not about getting money. It's about saying, how effective are the programs of making sure that they improve the lives of women in our society, both urban and rural. So that's our responsibility. So I said, we need to know, to say, when we deal with it, to say, we don't have programs which, like, we can then say, you can count us on this program, we have 20 million, which it must go to, but we don't have it. And they told us we will never get it. Even if we want it, we will not get it. So we've accepted that that's not our space. So I thought I need to clarify the issue of that. And just maybe also to deal with the issue of, I agree that the CFO must give you the status of the, those issues, they have to deal with that. I think the rest then will, I would say the department must deal with those issues which are of concern to the committee. So, I think, Chairperson, what else in there cover? Oh no, the last one is the GBV Council. The GBV Council, yes. Let me explain the GBV Council. The council in the first place, the process which led to the formation of the council was informed by nothing. You develop a policy first. You develop a policy. I don't recall you, then I say you are a council. What are the aims and objectives of what is expected of you? So there was never a policy guideline or a framework which established the council. That's the challenge. Hence, even if you, when I was not here, go back to when I was not here, because people are thinking that it's me. Let's go back to when I was not here. After the formation of the GB, of that council, what has it delivered? The policy process leads to the council, not the other way around. You can form a council for developing policy, because policy you consult broadly, which then inputs on various people, then lead to the answer, not the other way around. I must also say, the outcry out there, about the national strategic planning. How do you have a national strategic plan without policy? What will inform that strategic planning? Because you may be doing something which is done by everybody under the sun. You're duplicating. And I think as a country we need to understand, we have so many legislations. One thing we have never asked ourselves when it comes to issues of abuse of women, have we ever done an audit of all those issues? How effective are the various instruments which we have in the country in making sure that we improve the quality of life of people? So I thought I need to raise these issues to say, the GBV Council, we've gone back to say, because it's part of the fourth quota, this set is going to go back, relook at that space. We're waiting on it. We'll come back and report, not on the council. What kind of mechanisms do we need to move forward? You go to Department of Social Development, you find something. You go to Justice Cluster, you find something. So we must create another pilot. And all this is at the expense of the taxpayers. So let's do ours. We believe it's to analyze the effectiveness of the existing tools for us then to be able to say, these tools are not working, or they're not effective. These are the recommendations. If those recommendations lead to a council, then let there be a council. But it can't be a council which, because I feel that there might be a council, then I create a council. It can't be right. There's no terms of reference, we have clearly defined. If you look at them, they are all over. If you look at the policy framework, no policy framework, which then informs them. So I thought I need to clarify the issue of that. Including the NSP, it's the work which will be done, not me sitting alone and deciding that there must be a national strategic plan. It must involve everybody in South Africa, civil society, business, government, whoever is affected, including other departments, for us to have an effective plan. So I need to clarify the council to say where we are. We have a challenge with the council because we don't have, I mean, they say, if you take a council, what informs it? So I must, if you ask me as a committee, what informs the council, I'm unable to give you a base document which then says on the basis of this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we are creating the council. But then, the challenge facing women is our responsibility in making sure that we are able to move forward. There are so many issues, there are programs of which Uzela centers, it's good programs, but we've never analyzed to what extent are they effective. I mean, when I am in Nimtuba Tuba, there's no Tutuzela center. What do you say about that? Is it because I'm for the city? It's good for me. You know, as Grace was saying, for us in the urban areas, it's fine, but we don't care what happens. So this, we must examine all those issues so to make sure that when we talk about service delivery, we reach out to all corners of our society. So I thought I need to clarify that. The council, we've puppets because when I came in, there wasn't any program. But two, the council, when we analyze what is there, it's not going to help us. It's creating a structure which we are not sure why we will be creating that structure. Instead of pulling together the work which has happened, both by everybody in the country around this matter, then be able to come up with a program which can make a difference to women. And the last one, Chairperson, is that the gender budgeting, I know they've got issues. Let me ask frankly, we are going to relook at it. It's another program which will lead us to the council. I want to be upfront with that. Because it's not informed by research. It's not informed by anything. We need to work on it in such a way that it's a proper reflection. And this is how work. If you don't engage people with knowledge in the area, let me make an example and preface this. If you don't understand the impact of the economy of women, how do you do gender parity? Because first, the implications or the impact of the economy on women, that's the one which will lead you to gender budgeting. Otherwise, what informs you when you do gender budgeting? That's what I need to share with you. First, until you understand the status of women economically, then from there we say, this is how we do it. And if you want to understand, we must look at how UK was able to do it. Talking about the working woman, what was the cost implication for a working woman in the UK? Looking at your transport, your baby, when you spend the time and all those issues. We have not done those things, but now we want to talk about gender budgeting when we don't understand the seriousness and the impact of the economy in our women when it comes to South Africa. So I thought, even on that, I need to indicate that gender budgeting, Thanks, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Chip. And I actually just wanted to say I can bail them in and out that the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence, the fact it's not going to the grant is not got anything to do with you because we have, in fact, in this committee, I think from the very beginning, warned the previous department that it was a skeleton. It had no vision. It had no resources. It had no plan of action. It was announced as part of the State of the Nation address as a panacea for our fight against gender-based violence, but it never had the actual tools or the resources or any real commitment to make it work. So I think it's quite right to pass and to start from the beginning because, in fact, it really never got off the ground, but simply because it had no real plan of action. So I think you're quite right in your assessment, and thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, the Minister. I would also say that, you know, the previous committee, we were unpopular with regard to this cancer. It was... No, we are fighting a lot about it because, yes, as Lizelle is saying, there were no resources. Even the budget, It was not there. So, but we knew lately they reported that there was a donor funding or $2 million that was allocated to that council, either by the treasury or a donor funding. Maybe just to check with the department whether this money is that money still there or it has been neutralized prior to your arrival.
Just to let, indeed there was donor funding. Part of the money or the was paying, for instance, for the CEO who was employed for 1 year. So, as you can see, as you probably say, that there was a CEO employed, but she has resigned. She resigned because when we said we don't see the future of the council, then she decided to resign. And some of the money which we decided to put into the program of 16 days, because we thought then it goes to the addressing the issues of gender violence and the 16 days of program on the, what is it? 15 days of activism, so it went there. I'm not sure whether we use it all or part, but I know the part of it went there. So I thought I need to indicate to say, yes, part of it was used, but as you say, Giselle, I agree with you. Fortunately, I didn't come to the committee for me to listen to you, then decided it's on the presentations. You know, when you come in as a minister, you get presented about the department, this is what we're doing, this is where you're going. It's on the basis of that when I listened, and I started saying, we are in trouble. We're going to start something which will not be sustainable and will not be able to carry through. So that is why we had to say, let's touch it and make sure that we consult broadly, but also consult on the policy. If we need that thing, we must start first by the framework. Mission and vision and aims and objectives, then those are what will inform us to say, do we need a council or not? So as such a person, indeed, there was never a budget. And the issue was also saying, if you continue, because donor funding comes once off, how are we going to sustain it? If we ever contributed, say, now, because when donor funding kicks that program, you must build into your budget. So with the challenges, I think, which the committee knows, we will not get to be able to be given money for that particular program. So I thought I need to mention that, Chair.
May I just give a brief report from the Department of Justice after our oversight visit? I've been asked to relay this message to all the members of the portfolio, especially the minister. We have, and as soon as possible, to visit all the so-called Tuzela centers, because some of them are just in the middle of nowhere. There is no court that is actually linked to those centers with immediate effect, because they are behind us. They're trying to help us. So it's just like being a person who says is so concerned about the plight of women and is sitting in her beautiful lounge with the laptop and no proper meaning of what they are doing.
I'm going to ask the CFO to respond on the issue of the invoices. We outturned the question was raised, but it's about payment and the 30 days.
No, it's also underspending.
And the issue of underspending as well.
Thank you, Dr. Sen and the Honourable Members. The issue of payment of invoices within 30 days, we received 827 invoices. Of the 827 invoices, only 14 was not paid within the 30 days. No. 14 invoices, being 1% of the received invoices, were paid outside the 30 days. So 99% was paid within 30 days. Yes. And reasons sometimes for paying after 30 days, the verification processes, either of banking details, not necessarily because they are invalid banking details, but a supplier would have been registered maybe in our database and in our financial system, and then we change banking details. Then when we want to make payment, then the banking details is subsequently changed. But also if it's a new supplier, we then start the payment processes, but without then giving the supplier, there's a form that is supposed to take to the bank, and the bank must verify that indeed this is an existing bank account that is valid for that particular supply. So we've then put controls in place for the new suppliers. So when you start procuring with the department, we give you together with them that form, so that then it is stamped by the bank immediately. And then also then, what would affect the process of paying within 30 days is the issue of verification of invoices by end users, which then is an internal process which we should take care of and make sure that we do that within a correct time. Also, the issue of understanding. It looks like the department was understanding in the second quarter. But if members can look at the budget, it was a budget that was inclusive of the CRR and the RPD. So therefore, the percentage that was done for projections was a percentage that was inclusive of the four programs. And then when we started spending after the transfer of functions, then when we were calculating, based on the four programs, which the other two were not necessarily in our control. But for us, the understanding was 8%. And in that 8%, it was mainly the bulk of it. It was the CGE payment, which was about 5 million, which we did not pay within the cut-off period. So had we paid it before the 30th of September, then we would have been in line with the spending. The payment was just made after the cut-off period, so the payment, the system would close on the 30th, and it goes in over. Instead of interfacing in their bank account before the 30th, it interfaces after, and then the cut-off, then it falls off. But it was just for one particular month, yes. But it was then subsequent paid immediately.
On Chairperson, on oh slide. I was going to say there was a question on slide 29 about the 10,000 women that we reached. I will ask Nsiki, please, to. Oh, okay, let me just put them together. It's the 10,000. Yes, which affects which, please.
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. I think that in terms of the question around the distribution of information for advocacy work, the advocacy work in of itself is that sharing of that information. And I think what you're asking for is whether we were able to monitor the impact of the distribution of that information over time. And that is a point that will take an integrate into the outreach programs going forward, which are already being integrated under the new minister around that. But a lot of that work around the distribution of information was to advocate and share information, and that was the purpose therein. In terms of the young women, if you try and just have young women to be engaged in different, rather than saying here is one program, but understand that you have to engage girls, young women, and women on a spectrum. And that target of engaging young women was to broaden the engagement, the dialogue part.
Slide. In the interim, can we please allow the minister to move to the other meeting?
Okay. The Coca-Cola one. Okay. The Coca-Cola one was not selected as a standalone. It is a program that was introduced through the department through UN Women.
where Coca-Cola has an initiative in the country called 5x20, where they're looking to empower women in the country in different provinces so that they can become entrepreneurs and open their own stores in selling Coca-Cola products. And so they upskill them in that way. The UN Women had engaged with the department to say there is this initiative, Coca-Cola is in the country, but because we're doing women in particular, we're looking to skill women in particular in terms of business skills, we thought that the department would be most appropriate. And so that engagement was that. Intel is the same. UN Women wants to upscale the engagement of women, of young women in science, technology, engineering, and math. And one of the companies that they're doing that is Intel. DTI is part of the group of departments, and so is the Department of Science and Technology. How join the mainstream for economic sector departments was chosen was to say DTI is the most obvious economic sector department in which economic empowerment of women could be facilitated. Essentially, what they were going to do is assess where DTI is in actually rolling out or ensuring gender mainstreaming. So that's how those were chosen. Yes? Okay. In terms of you would notice that is one of two things. One is that it's July 18th, which is the Nelson Mandela Day, and part of the work of the department was to say, let's identify actually important as women's shelter for abused women in Pretoria, and we got a service provider to come and teach them how to make blankets. And on that day, then had that service provider together with the women. We have actually, as part of our evidence file, a register of the women who attended. I unfortunately don't have the figures off the top of my head at the moment, but we do have that register attached in terms of how many women were there, how many young women were part of that initiative.
Thank you, Action Jess. I just wanted to go back to the 10,000 people. I just want to know, how do you identify people? Where did that happen? Was that all over the country? Was it specifically in Gauteng or KZN? Or is there an even distribution throughout the country, urban and rural?
Okay, maybe just to add on the explanation that you have given with regards to that blanket, to whatever the skills development, the skills, guess what? Development to young girls in that blanket, whatever, project. I just want to check, where are those kids, as well, because those young girls, as well, speaking, have you been able to maybe just link, as part of your creation of women's empowerment, have you linked them with your small business, DTI, or small department, small business department, so that they can be able to rotate, that project up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think in terms of where we had popularized them, Women's Month was in KZN that year, and the sports awards were in Johannesburg, and the other, so for example, when we were here, there was, wherever we are, material was distributed throughout the year. So and of course, for Women's Month, it was a combination of urban and rural women in terms of the distribution and access to information in that regard. And then it was also older women and young women as well. From our intergenerational dialogue, that also took place, information was distributed at that time. Our provinces were also given information out in the focal point to ensure that they also are able to distribute the information. And then in terms of the blank, the young women who were, they are in a transition of center. So what we have done is linked the transition, the center itself, rather than the individual women who are in transition. But I think we will take the point to see if those women are still there, but certainly to link the center. We have engaged with the center, the management of the center, in linking them with our department and say to them, we will continue to partner with them and see how they're doing and where else we can support them. And I think that the point is then take it as we can then link the management themselves, that way they are empowered regardless of which women come in and out. Because women come in for shelter and then they leave again and come back in. But I think that the point is taken.
Thank you very much, Chief. I think
the question that has been raised clearly is a question that is related to the impact of our program. It is related to the outcome. And our mandate is the socio-economic empowerment of women and the promotion of gender equality. So this is what has happened. But as we move forward, the approach is going to be more programmatic, you know. Look at programs and look at how we monitor and evaluate. But the monitoring is more looking at the outcomes. Right? If it is having, as the Honorable Member said earlier, if it is having the desired effect, if it is improving the lives of the women. So I think going forward, that is the approach. We have already started with the 16 days, although it will be reported in the third quarter report, whereby we are saying the 16 days should not be an event. August the 9th should not be an event. CSW should not be an event, but it should form the agenda of ongoing development of women. Those which have been historical events, we are like, for example, the 16 days. We are saying now that the challenge is not getting better, it is getting worse. What is the problem? And hence the campaign that said, count me in, because we are beginning to say, it's not just about women, it is about society. And men are the other aspect of society, because our vision is for gender-free and non-violent society. So we've got to look at this as an ongoing program to really make a dent. So it's not a once-off thing. Similarly, when we talk about the 10,000 women, and I appreciate the questions that are raised, because they say to us, do you have measures in place to establish if there has been a difference? And I think we appreciate that. But as I say, going forward, this is how we look at it. And indeed, we have started with the 16 days, which is now 365, hashtag 365, etc., etc., etc. And Minister has emphasized, even in terms of the CSW, it's not just about New York, she says. It's about the development of women. And I think So I think it's actually very helpful, because it talks to the approach that we should adopt, which is really saying, what are the outcomes? Thanks, Chair.
Ngibonga isihlalo. Iyakhona ngiyezwa kuyakhazwa. Yabona kuno 10,000 wanabantu besifazana nabesilisa nengane. Ngoba sitezwa ukuthi kwenza kuphi. Kodwa nje bengizobe ngicacisele lana ukuthi kusho ukuthi funeka nikwazi ukuthi abantu besifazane ukuze bagcine babhekene ney'nkinga zabo. Funeka nenze sho ukuthi manje abahlezi ukuboshwa uma bedayisa ugavini nesiqatha nomtshobo. Waye ngishiso lokho ngoba yona nto abaze bakwazi ukuphumelela ngayo ukuthi bakwazi ukuphila nemndeni baze bayise ingane esikoleni ezinye zizibe othisha noma yini. Ngoba yabona lezinhlalo singazisho ngamafiga zisho ngawonkebamatemu. Hayi, nakhona umkhohlisi kubantu basemakhaya akwenzeki. Yingakho mina ngatshela even khona elokishini komashu lako-ela onami ukuthi iyashonta azali ukuthi kuyisono lento engenzayo. Ugcina seyiphilisa ngokugavile ehlathini. Ngifuna nazi ngiyahleli la kuthi ngempela lolu hlelo njalo kuyenza ilutho kumuntu wakithi omnyama. Ngoba nalabo ngiyajabula ngoba kuyavela la kuthi kukhona abantu uthole ukuthi la bayayinikeza imali zokuthi bakwazi baye emphakathini. Kodwa bagcine la babona ukuthi abanye labathola njengathi zikubona unayo umshini unikeziwe ney'nsiza ukuthi angaqoqa abantu abafundisa ukuthunga kodwa bakwenza ukuhlala endlini endleleni lakuze kuthombe. And bese sibuyela labantu okuthiwa ama-social development. Mina ngikhula ama-social development
Thank you very much, Shepherd, and everything has been clarified. But I'd like to make a point, or I'd like to raise an issue regarding that number, 10,000, you know. I'd like to raise a point to the fact that women who sell illegal alcohol should not be arrested because the circumstances are forcing them. Those figures that have been said, they don't really affect women. Sometimes you find it's a church-going woman, it's a Christian woman, but because she's not able to make things, she can't make things meet. She's supposed to say that she goes against her principles and she ends up selling this illegal alcohol. So I think that we must call all these women who sustain themselves using this illegal route. Maybe we should discuss and sit down with them. Maybe they shouldn't be arrested because they have no other ways or other forms of making a living. Another point I want to touch upon is the social workers. When I grew up, the social workers were hands-on. But nowadays, they sit in their offices and they don't go down to the people. That's why you find that the crime is up. And you see, they don't care because they no longer go out there to the people. And I must make it clear that in South Africa nowadays, no one is more oppressed than a woman. I was talking to a friend the other day, asking what we can do, because if you go to schools down there, it's a disgrace. The children have no school uniform. Yes, we do appreciate the grant that the government is assisting with, but it's not enough. You cannot feed, you cannot educate, you cannot do all those things with this money. And in South Africa, you find that a woman is living with the grandkids, great grandkids, and so it's a long family. So in short, maybe these women who sell this illegal alcohol known as Mtopo and Kavini, something should be done. The law should be more lenient for them, toward them, because the circumstances are forcing them to do it because there's no other way. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, before our tea and coffee gets cold, can we just break? Go to Gavin Sobabop. Oh, ask what you are in my lock. I love it. What? Stay break.
Chinese thing.
I'm not being nasty.
I know. But it seems like I'm
off.
She didn't know that the government is coming. She wants to make it.